Good morning. With us, our political observer, Alan Chartok, on a Tuesday morning. And how about this for a headline? GOP senator is a major player in Iran nuclear accord. The New York Times reporting few people on Capitol Hill are more important to the White House now than Senator Bob Corker, the Republican behind a bill to force President Obama to send any deal with Iran to Congress for approval, and both the president and his associates saying very nice things about Mr. Corker.
Well, let me put it this way. Corker, of course, is a guy who has inspired the ire of the Democratic president before. And I can only say that he has something going for him, which is the American perception that we have a checks and balances type of government in which treaties are supposed to be approved by the United States Senate. The problem, of course, here is this an agreement? Is it a treaty? What is the definition? If the Republicans in both houses of the Congress are going to insist that this has to be approved by both houses, you know that the chances of this thing passing are not that good, because these are the same people who invited the Prime Minister of Israel to give a blistering speech about why this agreement was no good and why probably no agreement would be any good. So we have a president who's making the argument that this is our best hope. 10 years, maybe 15 years, by then anything could happen. The tenor of the Iranian leadership could change, but it's a good idea for forestalling nuclear confrontation now. So Corker becomes very important. You know, David, there's always a point at which public officials who have been blazingly political have a chance to be statesmen. And that, I think, is what is being hoped for by the Obama people here with Corker. I wouldn't hold my breath, to be honest with you.
We were witness yesterday to a report from the Columbia School of Journalism on the rape allegations at the University of Virginia and what was called a failure of journalism at all levels. And now we see the fraternity at the center of the retracted article about gang rape said it would pursue all available legal action, a knock to journalism.
Well, we knew this was going to happen. On the roundtable yesterday, as we talked about it, we talked about the idea that there would be a lawsuit, and it would come from the fraternity who had been named and who was very angry about it, and who obviously is in a position now to sue Rolling Stone and its editors for whatever it can. There'll be a question here about First Amendment rights, about what is said, but in the end, it's a tough one, and it's going to give a real black eye, a further black eye, another black eye to journalism.
Over the pond to Russia, where using cash and charm, Vladimir Putin targets Europe's weakest links.
David, if you were the Greeks right now and you are having a real tough time paying back and paying down what you owe and suffering under excruciating pain, and along comes Putin and says, we can make your life a little bit easier, would you be interested in looking at the man who has been seen as the devil by so many people in a more favorable light? I suspect you would. And remember that the Russian operation is so much bigger than little tiny Greece, that what looks immense to Greece looks like not so much to the Russians, although they certainly are having their own troubles because of the price of oil going down and everything else. So Putin, who is a man who likes to create havoc wherever he can, is looking at this as an opportunity and will probably continue to do that.